the topic of having bad memories. Now, I didn't say having a bad memory, because I have a terrible memory. But having bad memories. Bibles, you didn't really need to take that kid out. I can shout louder than that kid. Okay, well, turn your Bibles for me to the book of Genesis again. This morning we were in Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, I think, is the first. Actually, no, sorry, Philippians 3. Turn to Philippians 3, first of all. And we're going to pray and we'll open up the service. When I go to church, I really want God to speak to me and I really want to be helped. And I believe Christianity is very practical and it should be helpful to us. And I wanted to be helpful. The Bible, God wants the Bible to be our instruction book for life. So if I get an instruction book for a television, what am I wanting the instruction book to do for me about the television? Show me how to use it. There's no point in giving me instructions for some other TV or a radio that I don't have. I need that instruction manual to show me how to use the very item that I have. And the Bible is like that. We need the Bible to help us on our daily in our daily lives. So I hope the message will be a help to you tonight. You're going to be back next Sunday morning as well. Next Sunday morning, going to be preaching the gospel next Sunday morning. So that will be a good time to bring out some visitors and invite some people out. So do that. And I think pastor's back the following week, if I'm not wrong. But let's go before the Lord in prayer. And we'll ask him to bless our meeting tonight. Father in heaven, Lord, you are my God, and I pray, Lord, that you would help me tonight. Help me to teach and preach your word. Lord, I pray for the people here. I pray that you give them soft hearts to listen. Lord, I pray each one would benefit from coming out to your house tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would bless, Lord, every aspect of what goes on here tonight, Lord. We just give it over into your hands, and we expect you, Lord, to do what we cannot do, Lord. We're throwing ourselves upon you and asking, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to walk with you. Help us to meet with you this evening. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I think every single person, whether you've had a life of addiction or not, and I know some have in the room tonight, but whether you've had a life of addiction or not, I believe every single person in here struggles from time to time with having bad memories. Now, having a bad memory might be something that was done to you. Having bad memories might be something that you've done to somebody else. But the thing about having bad memories, how do we get bad memories? 99% of the time for you to have bad memories, what you have had is you've either had somebody sin against you or you've sinned against somebody else and done wrong. But with bad memories, sin is often involved. Now, you can have a bad memory where you're driving down the road and you get in a car crash and it's a bad memory. They're not the type of bad memories that I'm talking about. The type of bad memories I'm talking about are the things that, you know, all it takes for you to remember the pain of a situation is for somebody's name to be mentioned. Or for you to get a certain smell and you're right back into that situation. You know, I grew up in a home where my father wasn't around. And any time I heard the name Barry, it just killed me. It was just like somebody stuck a knife in my back. It would have been better if somebody hit me with a hammer. Now, that's what it would have been better. And I've been hit with a hammer. It would have been better if somebody hit me with a hammer. Now, when I heard the name Barry, if any of your names are Barry, I'm really sorry. I know there's a Barry here. But when I heard the name Barry, they wouldn't be mentioning my father. That wouldn't be talked about at all. But right there and then, that was a trigger for me to put me back into the pain and the rejection that I had because my father walked out on us, really just before I was born, but he walked out on us, and that's the pain that I lived with. And we have, all of us in here have issues like that, have bad memories like that, and it just takes a certain trigger to get us back to 20 years ago for some of us. For some of you, 40 years ago. And even though the thing happened, some of you, all folks, 50 years ago, it only takes a certain thing, a certain name to be mentioned, a certain place to be mentioned, a certain thing to be mentioned, and you're right back in that situation. and right back feeling the very same pain that you felt all them years ago. Because our memories, they just, whatever you put in, stays in. Now I know all of us, I have a terrible short-term memory, I just forget all sorts of stuff. But you know what? I can remember everything at certain points in time. There's stuff I've forgotten about, and suddenly it'll just come to my mind and I'll remember it. You know, our minds are wonderful things, but they're things that can cause us great trouble and great problems. Let me tell you about two different stories, two just short stories about people. First one's about a girl called Holly. And Holly grew up in a normal home, no real problems, but there was some sexual abuse going on in Holly's home. And Holly was abused growing up. And that caused her all sorts of problems, which, you know, and never came out in her life. But it affected her in many, many different ways. Because of that, she went and she got into wrong relationships with other boys and all sorts of trouble, which led her, when she was in her late teens, to start being suicidal. It led her to the place where she couldn't cope with normal life without the pain of the abuse that happened to her, causing her all sorts of pain and trouble. And she used to start cutting herself to deal with the pain and getting relief from that. She attempted suicide on many occasions, and ultimately she ended up in the doctors and in the GP and the psychiatric ward, and they gave her antidepressants, they gave her Valium, and they gave her stuff to tranquilize her, just to calm her down and to keep her sedated so that she didn't have to feel the pain of them bad memories. Now, Holly's situation is not uncommon in Ireland. In Ireland, so many people have been abused. The likelihood is, with the amount of people that are in this room today, that people have been sexually abused that are in this room right now. And that causes massive pain, and there's no getting away from the wickedness of that sin or the pain that sin causes. But even though that situation in Holly's life happened, you know, 15 years ago, it's still causing her problems to this very day. And, you know, all the tablets and all the medication will not stop the pain in Holly's life. It's just not going to do it. So let me move on to another story. The other story is about a fella called, you know, Mike. And Mike's story is, he was a businessman, a family man, had four kids, and he had his family, and everything was going reasonably well. There came some hard times in the business. He made some decisions in the business to try new areas of business and basically lost all his family's money. The pension ended up going. The insurance went. He got into massive debts because of trying to get himself out of hole. His family started to suffer because of it. He would stop coming home because he was ashamed to go home because he was failing in his business. He wasn't able to provide for his family. And the pain of that was so great that it was causing him all sorts of problems. He started to stay out. And when he started to stay out, he found himself in a bar. And when he was in the bar, he would start drinking. And that would numb the pain of the problems that he had and the memories that he had and the shame of his failures that he had. He would start drinking to numb the pain. Well, in Mike's situation, he ended up in, you know, divorce. The wife ended up divorcing him. And when she put him out of the house, he just went full-blown on the drink. A lot of people drink and use drugs to block out bad memories of the past. And that's what Mike did. Ultimately, Mike ended up homeless and just drinking every day just to block out the pain of bad memories. Bad memories can, you know, you can live with them. You can cope with them. You know, they hurt you when they come up. But you can manage through life, and they cause you problems every now and again, and probably for some more than just now and again, because really, for somebody that's been really hurt, you will find that they don't only think about it now and again, that they think about it every day, and it causes them problems every day. And, you know, for Holly and for Mike, you know, both of them tried to deal with their situations in different ways. Holly tried to commit suicide and ended up taking drugs to numb the pain. And Mike ended up drinking and running from seeing his wife because of the shame of his failures. And, you know, They're just two cases, but they are pretty standard for people that have been really hurt. And I wonder this evening, is there memories that you have in your past that haunt you? That when they come up, absolutely cause you massive pain. And even though it's a long time ago, when you remember them, your face goes red, you get embarrassed about the stuff you've done, you're ashamed of yourself when it comes up, and they just make you ineffective when you start thinking about them. And I know it can be like that, and you can struggle with it, and just like when I heard my father's name for many years, it caused me all sorts of problems. You know, and I would often lash out in anger when I was feeling like that, or I'd just go and take loads of drugs to not feel anything at all. And, you know, we all respond in different ways to pain, and we go to different places for pain relief. But let us talk tonight about memories in your past that trouble us. You know, do you have anything that is in your mind that plagues you and cripples you? Do you struggle with your past? Well, if you do, you're not alone. Probably the majority of the people in here have something in their past that they wouldn't want anybody else in here knowing about. You know, we all have stuff that if we were to remember it, you would have a red face because you'd be embarrassed about what you've done. You know, we have all done stuff like that. More so Weston, he's done more than Moses. But we all have issues like that, you know. If you want to know something, just meet me after, and I'll let you know some of them. But, you know, all of us have issues in our life that we struggle with, and even to this day we still struggle with. Well, God's Word provides a solution for the haunting problems, and a powerful life-changing solution beyond what we can really imagine. So we need God to help us with this. You know, and the philosophy of the day and the philosophy sometimes that Christians give out regarding people having bad memories and stuff like that is totally wrong. And I'm going to show you from the Bible why I think it's wrong. God has the answer for the problem. So we're going to start by defining what our goal is going to be tonight. Now, what is our goal? If I'm to throw the question out to you tonight, what are most people in the world wanting to do with the bad memories that they have? What would your answer be? Get rid of them. Forget them. Not remember them. You know, that's what they want to do. And they just want to, you ever hear the saying, I wish I could, it would all just go away. I wish I could forget my past. You know, they say things like that. We simply want to get our memories erased and start afresh. Isn't that what we want to do? And, you know, we want to, you know, in many ways the world offers a menu of different escapes that we can use. You know, like drugs or alcohol, Valium, antidepressants, antipsychotic medication. There's all sorts of different things that people use to escape the problems that they have. You know, the guy Mike that we talked about, he drank to forget the pain. Holly went to different places, like she went for prescription tranquilizers to help her. Some people go to electric shock therapy or demon deliverance ministries or, you know, some people, all they want to do is get rid of the memories that they have. And the philosophy of the day is to just, let's get rid of the memories and let's not think about them. Let's not have that pain in our lives. And it's often helpers in churches and preachers and ministries give out the advice, you know, just forget your past. So let's look at Philippians 3:13. Who's writing in Philippians 3:13? Well, this is the Apostle Paul. We're going to talk about him tonight a lot. The Apostle Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know what? We often use this Bible verse when people are struggling with bad memories and shame of the past, and we tell them, just like Paul, forget those things which are behind and reach forth on those things which are before. And we kind of tell people to you can forget about your past and to forget about your past. And I've used that verse for that situation in times past. But Paul's not talking about forgetting about the wrong things he's done there. Paul's talking about there forgetting how he used to get right with God and his relationship with God and the law and being a Pharisee, and that's what Paul was talking about forgetting. Now, we all know that Paul had a past that he needed to forget, and he did need to kind of deal with that situation. But in Philippians 3, he's not telling people to just forget the wrong things you've done and to move on with your life. And that's often the advice that we give people. The girl Holly, she went to a radio preacher and she told him about her bad thoughts. And the radio preacher basically told her this. And this is what we tell people. This is what my preacher got me to do when I was a drug addict. And he took me in to live with him. This is what he told me to do. And this is what we often give advice to do. We tell people to pray. We tell people to press on with your Bible reading. Read more of your Bible. Get in the Word. And be in church. Serve God. Be in church every service. Now, is there anything wrong with the three things? No. That's what you want people to do, right? But the three things I just mentioned, one is pray, reading your Bible, and coming to church. None of them will ever get rid of the bad memories that you have. Ever. And it was never promised. You won't find a verse in the Bible that I can see that will tell you if you do any of them three things that you will forget your past and you will forget the bad memories that you have. Okay? Now, I know the verse, the Lord has restored the years that locusts have eaten. I know all them verses. That's not what they're talking about. God can't wipe, God can do anything he wants. But on the general sense, he never wipes somebody's memory and they walk around forgetting what happened for the past 30 years in their life. You know what? When God starts to change somebody, when does he start to change them from? From salvation. He doesn't go back in time and wipe away all the wrong things they've done in their lives to the people that they've hurt or the people that, you know, have hurt them. He doesn't wipe away all that. He starts changing you from the moment of salvation, you become a new creature, and then on. Now, he's going to give you the grace and enablement to deal with your past, but he only starts changing. Obviously, all that's forgiven when you come for salvation, but it's only you he changes from the moment of salvation. He doesn't go back in time, okay? Yeah, and doing all the three things that I said, they're all great, and you should be giving people the advice. That's what you should be pounding the drum all the time. But never tell them, you know, when they're struggling with bad memories, that if you do this, it will get rid of them. Because it never will. And they'll only end up frustrated with you and thinking like they're not doing something right and thinking like they don't have enough faith. And that's why they have all these things wrong with them. Because it's just the wrong kind of advice. So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, it often sounds like a good thing, you know, forget about your past. But that's the world's philosophy, to forget about your past. Because the world doesn't want anybody feeling any kind of pain at all. It just wants to avoid pain. Does God want you to forget about your past sins? That's the question. Does God want you to forget about your past sins? And it's not a trick question. Just tell me what you think. Okay, but does he want you to forget about them?
I would imagine so.
Okay. And when I asked the question in RU a few weeks ago, I had half and half. To be honest, people were gone. Nobody wanted to commit either way because I was asking a trick question. I would have answered, if you had asked me that a year ago, I would have said yeah. If you had asked me now that I've studied it, I would definitely say no. And I'm going to show you that. But I would have definitely said, yeah, I would have given people that advice. You know what, I know you have a past, but forget your past and move on. That's what I would have said, you know, many, many times. But I was just saying it because, really, that sounds good. I wasn't saying it because I was basing it on anything. I was maybe basing it on verses like what we read in Philippians, but nothing more than that. But does God want you to forget your past sins? No. You know, although church and Bible reading and serving God, all them things are going to be a great help to you, and that's what you should be doing, these things will never help you to forget your past. God does not want you to forget about your past. God wants to use your past. Okay? God doesn't want to use just from the moment you get saved then on. God will take your past and he will use your past to better help you in the future. Okay, so that's kind of the direction that we're going in. You know, God's goal is not for you to forget about your past. God's goal for you is for you to become Christ-like. You know, sometimes we think, well, if God would just do this, it would help me to be a better Christian. No, you just be a better Christian and God will help you with the other issues that you're struggling with. You just do what God would have you to do. You know, God does not want to remove your memories. He wants to redeem your memories. Okay? You know that is a really, really important word. What does it mean to redeem something? To buy back. For all you that have had stuff in pawn shops over the years, you know, you get your pawn ticket and then you have to go into the pawn shop and redeem your item that you have pawned. It's to buy back. God wants to redeem our memories. You see, our memories, the sin that was done to us, the sin that we done to others, have been a massive problem in our lives. It still hurts us today. But when we get saved, God wants us to be able to look back at the problems of the past, and He wants to redeem even the problems of the past. You know, the only way that you're going to reinterpret the past that you have and the past memories that you have is through the gospel. That's the only way you're going to see them in a different way. And that's kind of what we're going to look at. So what's a biblical perspective on memories? You know, let's talk about that for a minute. How can God redeem your recurring memories or past failures and your past failures? Well, He can do it by giving you a different perspective on them memories. You know, the gospel perspective on them is it brings hope and faith into your life. It will help you to realize a few different things. We're going to talk about it. So if you're taking notes, and in RU we always say a short pencil is better than a long memory, talking about memory tonight. But God wants you to know that God, even though in your past, the stuff you've done wrong, the stuff has been done wrong to you, you really need to come to grips with this very deep and tough statement that God was in your past. The pain that was caused you by no fault of your own, or the pain that you caused somebody else, God was in your past. He was there. God was not asleep up in heaven and missed that day when that pain was caused to you. God was there. God is in all of our pasts. And this is so helpful to know, even though it's tough to know. But whether you committed those sins or those sins were committed against you, you know, God wants you to know He was there. And remember, we have free will, so God allows us and other people to use our free will to make wrong decisions, to make right decisions. But when you mess up, when you're hurt, God can use that for His good. God intends to use your past for something good. Turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, chapter 50. This is the life of Joseph. This is kind of a follow-on from what we looked at this morning. Jacob, Israel's son, is Joseph. Joseph, remember we talked about earlier, Joseph got thrown down. He got sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers were going to kill him. They told his father he was dead. They sold him into slavery. And years later, Joseph's the prime minister in Egypt. And his brothers, because of a famine, come before him. And he makes himself known to them. And you know what? The automatic reaction of the brothers is, he's going to kill us. I probably would have killed him if I was Joseph. But Joseph has a different response to me. Joseph says in verse 20, he says, "But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Go back to chapter 45 for a minute. 45 of Genesis, verse 5. Verse 5 says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years had the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest, And God sent me before you to preserve you posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." You know, at this point we would definitely be looking for revenge. But Joseph, seeing the pain that was caused him, can you imagine your own family selling you into slavery? Can you imagine your own brothers taking you, throwing you down a pit, bringing a bloody coat back to your father and saying he's dead, and selling you into slavery to, you know, the vicious animals that would have been the slave traders back then. And they weren't nice guys, you know, they were really bad men. And your brother's doing that to you, and then their brothers show up and you have the power to get their lives taken just like that. But instead of getting revenge, Joseph looks at the pain that was in his life and he says, you know what, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. And Joseph was able to see his problems through a different pair of glasses than we would see it through normally. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8. Romans 8. And we all know this verse. We could all probably quote it without even turning there. Romans 8. And the Bible says, and we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, you know, all things work together for good. You need to understand that. Remember, God was in your past. God knew about your past. He knew about the pain. He knew about what was happening. God was in your past. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You see, God's plan, he has already been looking at our lives way before we knew anything about God. God was already in our past. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things in the counsel of his own will. God knows exactly what's going on with us all the time. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God is in your past for the good and for the bad. Now, that can be hard to take. When somebody gets sick, you have to know that their illness came through the hands of a loving God. But that's not easy to take. But God's in it. And God's in it. And that's not easy to take, especially when it's your family that's going on with, like it has been going on with ours. It's not easy to take. But you have to come to that place that God is sovereign and everything that's happening has come through his hands. That doesn't mean that he caused it to happen, but he knew it was happening. And he could have stopped it if he wanted to stop it. That's the reality. So God was in your past. The second point is, your past does not have to control your future. You know, your past might influence your present beliefs or actions, but you're not hostage to what you did or what happened to you. You don't have to be a hostage to what went on in your past. It does not have to control you today, what went on in your past. But often what went on in our past does control us today. It affects how we feel. It affects our mood. It affects whether we'll go out tomorrow or not. It affects whether we'll answer the phone. It affects how we communicate with other people. It affects our spiritual life. It affects our health. You know, it affects whether we eat or not, because we're not feeling good, we don't eat. You know, it affects so many different parts of our lives. But your past does not have to control your future. You're not doomed. You know, there's hope. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're forgiven. You're made free, the Bible says. Now, we read verses like that, and we read it so much that sometimes it kind of gets shallow and we don't think about it too much. But God says at that single point of salvation, he makes you a new creature. He makes a change in your life. Salvation wipes away past, present and future sin, and you stand right before God at that point. And nothing can ever take that away. But that doesn't take away the consequences sometimes of your past. Okay? And sometimes even when we get saved, in our Christian life, we carry on in our Christian life lots of baggage. Lots of baggage. You know, lots of stuff we carry on. But you are forgiven. If you trusted Christ, like 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, you're forgiven. You're a new creature in Christ. But you are fully accountable for your present choices, no matter what memories linger in your mind. So that means that you have no excuse for doing wrong to cover up the pain that was in your past. And I mean, we had a guy, and in the past couple of weeks, that in the men's home, tried to take his own life in front of somebody that was talking to him. Tried to hang himself. First time it's ever happened. Absolutely could have killed our ministry. But has problems with the pain of his past. And when the drugs were taken away, couldn't deal with the bad memories, the bad thoughts, and thought I'd be better off dead. And the pain of memories and bad situations in our past often leaves us helpless. And when the devil gets in and you're helpless and you've no hope, the next thing he starts to say is, so what's the point in carrying on? And the devil is involved in every single suicide that ever happens. He is there. He is helping tie the knot. He is helping open the packet of razor blades. He's helping pop the pills that the person's going to take. He is there in every situation. Because that's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy. So he can use the ammunition when you've done wrong, or that's been done wrong to you. What he wants to do is he wants to try use your past against you to make you ineffective in the Christian life and ultimately to make you of no use. Okay? And he so easily does that. You can be walking down the road. You can be walking back from church. You can be, you know, having a good time. And then suddenly a thought just comes to your mind that just wipes you out. That just, you know, just kills you. You just want to go home. Want to go to bed early. Don't want to talk. And it just absolutely kills you. Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to be so careful about letting our heart go in certain areas. Why? Because it creates memories. It creates memories that will hurt us later on. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. And when you get to Matthew, then go to Mark, because it's Mark that I'm looking at, not Matthew. So go straight to Mark, right? Mark chapter 7. Okay. Mark chapter 7. You know, man's issues come from the inside and not the outside. You know, we think if we can remove ourselves from the situation, we're going to be okay. But it doesn't work like that. Matthew 7:14 says, and when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. So he's going to tell them something really important. He says, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him are the things which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into a house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, ye are so without understanding also. Do you not perceive that whatsoever the thing from without entereth into a man cannot defile him, but it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and it goeth out the draught purging of all meats. So he's really talking about the meats here at this point, but it's really important for us to know that it's not what's going on in the circumstances around you that can defile you, but it's what's inside man that's man's problem. Your problem is not the circumstances that's around you, although they might be tough and really bad. The issues that you're going to struggle with are always going to come from the inside out. And, you know, we can take you and put you on a desert island, but you're still going to be with you. So unless you learn to deal with you and live for God in the life that you have, you're always going to struggle. And you're always going to look at the outward and say, if I could just change the outward, it would make me better on the inside. But it never works like that. You have to change on the inside and the way you deal with stuff on the inside if you're ever going to do better on the outside. You know, and that's the way it is when Jesus is teaching here. That's what he's talking about. You know, it's, you know, James 1 says, you know, just talking about, you know, evil thoughts. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. But for God cannot tempt with evil, neither he tempted any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. So understand, when bad thoughts come, when bad memories come back, it's not of God. It's not of God. Now, God can be reminding you of a situation so you won't do something wrong, but when those evil thoughts come back, it's not God trying to test you. And when wicked thoughts come in, it's not God trying to test you. God does not test any man with evil. That's not the way he works. So God was in your past. Your past does not have to control your future. You have to, trust that God will forgive you. And when you come to him for salvation, that he will forgive you. And trust his ability to use the evil for good. So God was in your past. That your past does not have to control your future. And your memories will result in your interpretation of the past. You know, what you actually remember are not exactly the facts of what happened sometimes. It's just your interpretation of what happened. That, do you understand what I mean? You know, sometimes we can be in the same room and we can see a certain situation. And you'll remember certain things about it and I'll remember certain things about it. But we'll both remember according to how we interpreted the situation. Now, some things are absolutely terrible and there's no other way to interpret them. But you need to understand, what God wants to do is he doesn't want to change the circumstances or what happened in your past. He wants to get you to a position where you can see that same past thing, but be standing in a different place when you see it. Okay? Because maybe over here, when you see it from this angle, it really, really hurts you and you feel the pain of it. God's not going to wipe it away and make it totally gone. What he is going to do is the situation will be the same, but God's going to move you to a different position. So when you look at that very same issue, you're going to see it from a different light, in a different way. Like I said, Joseph, when he was over there, if I was Joseph, I would have had my brother strung up. Or at least beaten really to an inch of their lives, just for a bit of payback. But when Joseph wasn't over where I would be, he was over here with God. And when he saw the brother standing in front of him, he saw it from a different angle. And we have to come to a place, your past is never going to disappear. You have to move your position with God's help to a different position so that you can see it from an angle that doesn't cause you pain. Okay? So how are you going to do that? That's a good point. I hope I have it. I used the illustration when I was down in youth camp on the Thursday night that I wear glasses. If you see me driving home tonight, I'll be wearing sunglasses because my glasses are over in pastor's house. But I wear glasses when I'm driving. But I didn't always wear glasses. When I was in the Haven, I lived over in Scotland, and I was, in my 20s, I didn't know I needed glasses. I thought the way I could see things was the way everybody saw them. When I looked at life, it was just normal to me that things were a bit hazy. And, it was just normal to me, when I'm looking at Dan, he's just fine. He's a bit blurry, but I know he's there. And I just thought that's the way it was. But one day on 9/11, we were watching the stuff happening on the Twin Towers. And just I took a fella's pair of glasses, just carrying on. And I'm standing across the other side of the room, the TV. I'd normally have to be right over at the sea. I put on this guy's glasses. So what do you think happened? My world changed, folks. My world changed. Now I could see the TV. When I looked at the fish tank, I could actually see the fish in the fish tank and see the detail. When I looked out the window, I could see the sheep in the field way across on the other side of the hill. When I looked at the flowers in the garden through the window, I could see them and they were crystal clear. And it's not like when I put on the glasses, magic happened and those sheep were brought closer to me. It wasn't like, when somebody carried the television over to me so I could see it. But when I put on them glasses and I looked through different lenses, I saw a different picture, even though it was just the same picture. And your past issues and problems and sins that have happened to you or you've done, you can come to a place with God where you see them through a different pair of lenses that don't hurt you. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no shame there. And that's really the important bit that we're going to get to tonight. And I'm not rushing, right? So just so you know. And I really don't want to rush this. But you know what? When I put on them glasses, everything was different. But nothing had changed in my circumstances. Everything was still the same distance apart. But now I could see clearly. And this is what God wants to do in your life. You know, like Joseph, you know what? We need to be seeing things in a different light. So let's talk about the marks of a redeemed memory. How are we going to know our memories can be redeemed? Well, you know, it's about, let's talk about the Apostle Paul. Turn to 1 Timothy 1. We'll talk about the Apostle Paul, because I love the Apostle Paul. I love his story. I love the character of him. I certainly wouldn't be wanting to be in ministry with the fella, because he was just so intense. Reminds me a little bit about Pastor Ledbetter. You know, just so passionate and zealous. But, you know, that's the way he was. This is Paul's testimony. Okay? This is Paul speaking to Timothy. And basically, Paul is kind of trying to puff Timothy up and trying to show this fearful young preacher God's strength in his life. And Paul recalls in his own ministry how he actively persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. I'm going to read down a wee bit. And this is what Paul says. This is Paul's testimony. He says, "I thank God, Christ Jesus our Lord, who had enabled me, for he had... for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him for life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." What does Paul not try to do here? He doesn't try to forget about his past. Do you notice that? Here he is, number of years later, speaking to Timothy, and he starts sharing with Timothy all the past shame that he's had in his life. The philosophy of our day tells us to forget about our past. Never bring it up. Because if you bring it up, it causes you pain. And you don't want to feel pain. You know, let's not think about it. Well, here we have the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and what's the one thing he's saying? He's saying, first of all, he thanks God. Then he says, "God enabled me. He counted me faithful, put me in the ministry." He's saying, "But listen, I was a blasphemer. I was this. I was a persecutor. I was that." He doesn't try water it down. You know what? He says it the way it was. But he says, "Listen, I obtained mercy from God." And you know what? When you come to God for salvation, you might have been all these things in the past. But when you come to God, you obtain mercy from God. But that doesn't take away the sins of the past. You're forgiven the penalty and the price of those sins, but they're still there in memory, stored up. You can't get rid of them. No, Paul, instead of, you know, he doesn't try to hide his past. Instead, he presents a gospel interpretation of his past. First thing he says about it is thanks God, the gospel. Then he gives the bad stuff and he says, "But thank God I'm in the ministry," and he's encouraging, and then he ends with recognizing God's power and honouring God with glory. And that's what Paul does about his testimony. He's not trying to run from the shameful, embarrassing things that he's done. And let me tell you, that man has done some shameful, shameful things in his life up to that point. You know what? When he looks through God's lenses at what he's done, he sees what he's done in a totally different light. And when you look back at your bad memories through the lenses that God can give you, you can see it from a different position and in a positive light. You know, Jesus saves and transforms even the biggest of sinners, like Paul. And we know there's no such thing as big sins and little sins. You know what? Sin is sin before God. But certainly Paul's were some of the most wicked things that a man has done. You know what? He was just such a violent man. He was such a man who was zealous about persecuting the Church of Jesus Christ. You know what? He would go in and kick down doors at people's houses, tear them families out of bed, tear daddy out of bed, have him beaten and thrown in prison, same at mammy for being a Christian and being in church. And you know, the kids screaming, crying and all that's going on. That's the type of man that we're dealing with. He was passionate and zealous about closing down the church. He was more passionate though for Jesus Christ after he got saved than he was in his past. That's the, you know what, he was the same in his future that he was in his past, same zealous but in a different direction. Yet Paul does not try to avoid recalling the sins of his past, and he doesn't try to forget them. You know, he tries to use them. Remember, he was a violent man. What's he most known for? Well, the stoning of Peter. Or the stoning of Peter. I think he probably wished he could stone Peter at times, but he didn't. Maybe he thought he did. But Stephen, we remember him for the stoning of Stephen. So let's all take a trip back there. Okay? You all have imaginations? Well, let's take a trip back there to Bible days. The church has just started. Stephen is one of the deacons of the church. Stephen is a man of God, the Bible says, filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul is a man walking around trying to close down churches, breaking down doors, ripping people, putting them in prison. And he is an absolute animal about it. There's no other words to describe the man at that point. His reputation goes before him. When people hear Saul of Tarsus is coming, the Christians are running and hiding. You know, he is out there and he is passionate about what he's doing. But you know what? The guy Stephen was a godly man. And what does Stephen do? He gets up and preaches a humdinger of a message. And he preaches from creation to through Moses, through the judges, through the prophets. He preaches all about the cross and through Jesus and the persecution and all that kind of stuff. And he preaches at them and says, and it was you. And the Bible says they were that mad at him that they stopped their ears and they ran at him and started biting themselves. And ultimately they ended up stoning him. And who was there and who was the main guy in charge of what was going on? Saul. We're using guys with two names all the time, so you get mixed up. But Saul was the guy. Paul, his name got changed to Paul later on, but his name was Saul at this point. Saul of Tarsus. And he was there overseeing and involved in what was going on. And you can tell, if you have an imagination, get back there. They're going to stone Stephen. They're not picking up little handfuls of little stones. They are taking big stones. Here you have a man who they're taking big stones. You know what they forced on before they stoned them? They took off their coats. Took off the coat. And they walked over to Saul. And they said, there you go, Saul, hold that. Why did they give Saul their coats? Because they didn't want blood on them. They were going to punish this guy, Stephen, for what he had said. They were going to punish him. When they were throwing stones, it wasn't Nancy throws. They were full force trying to kill him with each stone that they threw. And you can tell there was a group of them around. They were all thrown. It was the mob mentality. They were all beating his head in with stones. There would be much blood. There would be bits of brain, I'm sure. He was absolutely savagely murdered in front of Saul. Now I want you to pretend or think back. You're one of them thrown stones at him. Viciously thrown stones as hard as you can at Stephen. And you look around and you see Saul standing there. What do you think he's doing at that point? Smiling. Smirking. Laughing. Do it again. He is an absolute vicious animal who was in control of all that went on that day. And he knew it. He was in charge. He was the main guy that was sent with the letters to close down the churches and do that to Christians. That was his job. That was his role. And let me tell you, he loved every minute of it. He was passionate about it. When God saved him on the Damascus Road, let me tell you, God saved an absolute monster and made him from Saul of Tarsus into the second best Christian ever to live. John the Baptist was the best. No man like him, the Bible says, in all the earth. And Paul was just on fire for God. But you know what? All through Paul's Christianity, he always carried the shame of what he used to be. And he gave it in his testimony when he was giving his testimony. He never forgot about it. You know what? He didn't try and make light of it. And, you know, instead of him trying to forget about it and trying to water it down, he tells Timothy, he reminds Timothy of his past wickedness and the value. What's the value of him doing that? Well, let's think about Zacchaeus before I answer that. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Jesus went in, he went in, and Zacchaeus was up a tree. Jesus walked over, and Zacchaeus was ripping everybody off. Nobody liked him, everybody hated him. He was an absolute lowlife in the town. And Jesus came and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, that I might abide in thine house." And the Bible says, straightway, Zacchaeus jumped down. Zacchaeus got saved. But you know what the very first thing Zacchaeus done when he got saved? He went out, the Bible says, and restored the money that he had stolen fourfold to everybody. The shame of his past sins changed his behavior after his salvation. And he didn't want to be like that anymore. When Paul got saved, and that's what remembering and being conscious of your past sins will help you to do. It will help you to stay clear of those sins and ever committing them again. You know what? When you're conscious about your past sins, you'll be sensitive when temptations come in those areas. Just like a kid learning to ride a bike falls off, cuts the knee. I tell you, they're a lot more careful the next time they're getting on the bike to cycle. And if you can remember your past sins, not that they should be controlling what you're doing, but that you should remember so you don't commit those sins again. That's what Paul was focused on. He was, you know, I used to be a wicked man. God saved me. Remember, your past sins can help deliver you from ever repeating those same sins again. Let me skip down a bit because I know I'm late. Don't miss this bit. You know what? You would think that it would be counterproductive to remember your past sins, like Paul. When Paul remembered his past sins, it brought shame into his life. I'm sure when he remembered, God didn't wipe away Paul's memory. Paul remembered every single stone being thrown that day at Stephen. Paul remembered every cry from Stephen every time a stone hit Stephen's body. He remembers the blood splatter. It's vivid in his mind. He remembers how wicked he was. And he doesn't let it ruin his life. He doesn't let it control him. Now, don't miss this. While we're slaves to sin, we're not ashamed. This is important. When you're a slave to sin, you're not ashamed. You don't blink an eye when you're doing wrong. Before salvation, you just do wrong, and you don't really think about doing wrong. You just do it. Without shame, if you've no shame about the wrong that you're doing, that's the marks of a sin-dominated life or an unsafe life. So when there's shame about sin, there's a consciousness about sin. That's a good thing. Then you can be sure, listen, I'm definitely saved. You know, I'm getting convicted about this sin here, I'm definitely saved. You know, the philosophy of our day, remember, is don't think about it, don't feel bad. But when Paul came and became a Christian, you know what, he came in and he never forgot the past sins, the evil he done, but he knew that it was a problem. 1 Corinthians 15:9, this is what he says. He says, "For I am the least of all the apostles." Now, was he just saying this to be proud or, you know, pretending he's humble? No. He knew his past. He lived with it every single day. He says, "For I am the least of all the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." You know what? That's what he thought about himself. When he remembered his past sin, he remembered it, but it didn't stop him being zealous for God. His past sin was shameful to him, but it didn't hurt him. He was still able to go up there and preach. When he was writing to Timothy, he wasn't feeling sorry for himself about the sin. He was encouraging Timothy, "I used to be like this. God changed me. And I can't do anything about it now, but I'm going to go on for God in the future. I'm going to press on for God." You know what? Your past sin, although it's tough and it can be really difficult to get past, you have to see your past sin. For most of us, God has used our past sins to draw us to Himself. If you know what? If I didn't have the pain of not having a father, well, maybe I wouldn't have ended up in church and getting saved. You know, it's our past sins that God draws us to Himself with. And that's for us all. You know, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Well, what does the law do for us? It points out the sin in our life, so to bring us to Christ. And the sin is the bad memories. Bad memories are because of sin. You know, so God uses the bad memories and the bad past to draw you to Himself, to save you. Now, He didn't cause your bad past. That's all done from free will of yours and other people. But God certainly can use your bad past, the moment of salvation, to help you and to help other people in the future. But you have to stop seeing it as this terrible, terrible thing that you normally look at. And when it comes up and the devil tries to use it, you have to say, no, no, no. This is the thing that God used to help me, to get me to the place where He saved me. And you start looking at your sin or the things that were done wrong to you and your bad memories from a different angle. It doesn't change them. It just changes your location when you're looking at them. And it really, really helps when the bad stuff comes up and you start thinking and you're like, oh no, I can't believe I done some of that stuff. And I can't believe I done some stuff. I overdosed in the preacher's bathroom. I overdosed in our church. I overdosed in our church. A needle hanging out my arm. The preacher took me in to live in his house and I totally abused him and his house. But do I let that stop me now? No, certainly not. God used all them things in my life to get me to the place where I am right now. And you have to recognize God was in your past. But He wants to use that past for you to help you in the future. But He's not going to wipe away your past memories. That's not going to happen. Get that out of your mind. He's going to get you to a different position so that you can see them from a different angle. And you can see them through the gospel glasses. So when you're looking at them, you say, thank God that He saved me. And if you've done lots of wrong in your past, you can look through the gospel and say, thank God I don't live like that anymore, because God saved me out of that life. You know what? And maybe something really wicked was done to you in the past and you were abused or something like that. Well, you can look through the gospel glasses and say, thank God that I never done that to anybody else. Thank God that I never done that. You know, there's so many different ways that the devil will try to get you and cripple you. You know, John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace, he was he worked on the slave ships. And you know what? When he got right about that issue and started to try, you know, get that stuff sorted out and get slavery abolished, he wasn't so ashamed about his slave trade and stuff that it made him, you know, I can't be involved in any of this stuff. He used his past for God and to benefit other people in the future. And that's what God wants to do with your past. And you're saying, I hope you're nearly finished right now. And I am nearly finished, right? I just want you to know I am really finished. I'm just seeing Stratton else that I wanted to say. Is there anything else I wanted to hit? Okay. Just think of Paul. Paul was the most effective Christian that is in your New Testament. He wrote most of your New Testament, yet he had the most wicked past that he'd done to people. God didn't wipe away his memories. He forgave his sin for what he'd done. But Paul still lived every day with the fact that he had done certain things. That's what we need to do. It didn't cripple Paul. Paul used it for the benefit of others. He used it as a teaching tool sometimes to help his younger preachers as he was training them. You know what? God never took away that past, but it certainly did cause Paul all sorts of problems. You know what? For the first number, I think, years of his ministry, he was looked upon with question marks. People were afraid of him. People wouldn't say certain things in front of him. Yeah, he was the outcast among the apostles. You know what? He was just different. Why? Because he had such a wicked past. But when God saved him, God totally forgave him. And God didn't hold any of that stuff against him. But when Paul got saved, listen, he got really saved. And the rest of his life was spent being absolutely passionate and zealous for God in every way. In every way. You know what? And even with his baggage of his past, it never stopped him being involved in ministry and moving forward for God. And what was it that the guy was told that God used to heal him when he was blind after he got saved? What did he say to him? He says, he's gonna suffer many things for being a Christian. And he did. He's gonna suffer many things. You know what? Paul had a past. You have a past. I have a past. But you know what? Your past does not have to control your future. Stop looking at the bad memories. Stop seeing them as something that hurts you. And start looking at them from a different angle and say, you know what? I know they're bad. Can't take them away. They are wicked when you've done them. They are wicked when they were done to you. Nothing can ever change that. And God cannot go back and erase that. All he can do is help you by the grace of God to get to a different position so that you can see that stuff from a different angle. And that's the key for getting rid of bad memories. But it's okay to have a bit of shame about your bad memories. Not that it should control you, but that you should remember, thank God he saved me out of this stuff. And it's not okay, it's not just okay, well, let's forget about it, God saved me and I used to be that, but I'm not anymore, thank God. When you think back about your past sin life, and I think back about the stuff I've done, I don't think back and I'm all, thank God I'm all saved. You know, I thank God for it, but there's a very reverential look back at the life of sin, because it's still shameful even though it's redeemed. So you still need to, you know, sometimes we think if somebody has a wicked testimony that, you know, they came from mad wickedness, that's a great testimony. No, it's not. They're the worst testimonies. The best testimony is somebody that's kept themselves right and kept themselves pure and just lived for God and grew up in church. They're the best testimonies. Paul didn't have a great testimony. Paul had a shameful, shameful testimony. And I have a shameful testimony. But God can certainly use the bad memories that I have to be a help to other people. And he can use the bad for good, because all things work together for good, God says. God can use the bad in your life for his good. And sometimes we can't see that, but that's the reality. He's not going to wipe away our memories. He's going to help you to see it from a different angle. Let's bow for prayer.